When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are. Warriors Huddle with me, Brad, with me per usual. My boy, producer Marcus.
What's up, Dub Nation?
And our master of all things sound mixing.
How's it going?
Boys, we have a full house today. In fact, an episode I am crazy fired up for. Joining us first, the Golden State beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, a man who covers every Warriors practice, press conference, shoot around, and game, and a guy who said he'd use the pandemic to become a DJ but hasn't provided this show with a single beat yet, Mr. Connor Letourneau. What's going on, Connor?
I honestly forgot that I had even said that because quarantine has gone on so long that I forgot that was even a goal of mine. You know what? I'm going to make it a goal this week. I'll get you guys a beat, and next time I come on, we'll play part of it.
Do I look like Charlie Brown in the football? I'm not falling for this again, dude. Every week I look into my inbox like, oh, maybe DJ Letourneau has sent me, and nothing. And I'm not going to go back through that disappointment, man. But I will introduce the other guest who's with us today, the Barian News Group's Warrior Specialist, the host of the Locked On Warriors NBA podcast, and someone who has become just so fed up with the topic. He literally hopped on Twitter recently and announced he is refusing to answer any more questions about who the Warriors should get with the TPE, Mr. Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes?
How's it going? I'm joining you from beautiful Miami, Florida, where I just recently recorded an episode of Heat Huddle, so now I'm getting Warriors Huddle out of the way. This is good.
Well, the only reason we had you on, Wes, is I got to ask you, who should the Warriors get with the TPE?
I swear to God, honestly, I tweeted that, and then like 2 days before I tweeted that I'm boycotting all TPE questions, I tweeted that I'm taking mailbag questions, and I checked Twitter right before we hopped on this call, and I literally got a question about, hey, can the Warriors get John Collins with the TPE? I'm just people read what I write and listen to my podcast and you will have all of those answers. I won't answer it every day. I'm sorry that I'm getting frustrated right off the bat. I'm setting a good tone for this podcast.
Wes has written more about the TPE than any of us all, than the rest of the beat combined. So if you guys want any more, I know I compete with the guy, but if anyone needs to know about the TPE, just type in his byline into Google and you'll find everything you need to know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you do that right now, what you're going to catch is a picture of Wes staring back at you with his middle finger up, because this fool is apparently not talking about the TPE any longer, and I respect it, Wes.
Blanket statement, just to get it out of the way. Warriors fans listening to this who don't know my opinion on the TPE and have not checked my byline, you're going to be disappointed. They're not getting Giannis. So pull the F out. Done.
But do you think the Heat are getting him? I feel like that's just a little overconfidence, because now all of a sudden the Heat in Toronto are these. It's a known secret in the bubble that the Heat and the Raptors are now in the lead for getting Giannis.
I don't know who wouldn't want to go play with OG and Anunoby, honestly, but I think that the Heat are putting on a pretty good interview right now. For Giannis.
Oh my God. Okay, whoops, skirt. Here, I'm going to stop this right now. I can tell you who doesn't want to talk about the f-ing Heat, and it is me. But I do have a question that is aimed at you guys. Wes, it is about you, so I want you to sit back for a moment, and I need some insight. Connor, this is really aimed at you, but Marcus, Maxime, I need your guys' take too. So a little bit of background. I love Wes. I love his podcast. And very occasionally, Wes is nice enough to include me on the podcast. And last week, we talked about me joining him on the Locked On Warriors this week. And we were going to do it on Tuesday. And I screwed up and I told them late last week, man, can't do it Tuesday. Let's do it Wednesday. He said, fine. And then Wednesday came up and I hit him with another text and said, man, I can't do 4 o'clock anymore. We got to do two. He said, fine. Then he hit me up with a text saying, what do you want to talk about? And I said, I have no idea, but I think you'll figure it out. And then the next text I got, gentlemen, was, not fine. Bram, let's just do it next week. Something really important came up, and I just can't do it now. So did I push it too far? Do you guys think something did, in fact, come up? Or do you think Wes was finally just like, fuck this, dude, like, too much. I'm going to have this fullback later. Connor, you've got a podcast. I've come onto yours. What do you think went down?
I honestly don't know. I think he needs to get his house in order, though.
Wow. Marcus, you think he stiffed me? You think he stiffed me on purpose? Or we're going to hear the real answer from Wes next. But what do you think went down?
I think he caught wind that you wanted to talk about the TPE and just cut it off before it started.
All right, Wes, lay it on me, man. Did I piss you off? What happened, dude?
It's actually very embarrassing. I am super bad at like remembering what time zone I'm in, and made conflicting plans to the point where I was going to be driving on the road when you and I were supposed to talk, and I wanted to make sure I was sitting in front of my computer and doing it appropriately if I was hosting the show. And I also didn't know what the hell we were going to talk about. So I figured instead of just blowing it this week, I'd rather use you at your optimum abilities next week when I would assume there might be more to talk about, because this week was kind of just a wash and I already had enough shows planned for this week on Locked On. So
amazing. It was not response.
Yeah.
And I'll have you know very that much. I got up my microphones, sat behind it alone and just spoke into it for half an hour. I had the time of my life. I'll have you know, it really would have been incredible.
Doesn't surprise me.
Well, with my depressing afternoon yesterday in tow, gentlemen, we have a playoff prediction segment that I am crazy fired up for. And it's a little bit special. And here's why. And I'm going to give you some background that might not be necessary, but it's important to me nonetheless. Boys, I have a competition problem. I am just overly competitive. I have ruined friendships over video games. I can't play board games because I ruin it for everyone around me. You know, like when people try to do like charades or that kind of stuff, I'm always left out because the environment's going to get crazy, crazy awkward. I'm just bad at competition. But the worst I've ever been with competition was a few years back. You guys know I'm an attorney. I ran into a friend of mine I went to law school with in a case. We weren't even against each other. But suddenly, this person I had a professional and personal relationship with, we were in the same place, and we just got hell of competitive. And here's where I'm saying this. Marcus, Maxine, you guys know this. Connor and Wes are crazy smart. They're also crazy well-informed beat writers. But what you guys do know, and the audience may not, is that they're also really close friends. They've known each other forever, and they now find themselves in the same professional arena. They are like me and that dude who I was just telling you about. So they've never said this, but I'm pretty sure there's at least an underlying competition going on between them. And I want to foster that competition during today's podcast, because why not? There's nothing to talk about, right? So the Warriors are not in the playoffs, but we are in the second round. And what I've done is I've put together a few questions, prediction questions, both on the second round and for the Warriors, and to add some stakes, Maddie Stats is out there, and at some point we'll come back with the answers and tell us which one of these two boys got the most answers right. And as a consequence of that, we will crown them our prediction champion and give them a free Huddle t-shirt. So what do you think, Connor, Wes, you guys up for the challenge?
Yes. And let me say that even though we are good friends, I do feel competitive with Wes to the point where when he outrights me on a given day, it bothers me to no end. Like, I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's doing a good job. I'm happy he's grown into his role. But it also bothers me because I'm like, dang, man, I got to be on my game. I can't be letting him outright me.
I love you for that. I love you for that, Connor. I think he's just trying to psych you out, Wes. I think he's trying to be nice so that like you kind of lose your edge during this competition. Do you want to throw anything his way to broaden the stakes here?
He's told me that before. Like he's been like, hey man, you really crushed that article. And I was like, it probably sucks. And you're just telling me. So I write it that way every time. And so I just keep writing in a sucky way all the time. Because you're telling me it's awesome that way. No, so you start playing mind games with yourself. No, Connor and I, like you said, and you said, very good friends, but even, you know, before I got onto the beat, obviously, but we actually openly talked about our competition a lot. And so we'll like go on road trips and be like, hey man, you definitely won that trip or like vice versa or whatever. It's a nice, it's like a healthy competition, which Bram, I was like you for a very long time. Like I couldn't play board games. Like I'm not, I think like legally I'm not allowed to play Scrabble anymore. And so it's been pretty refreshing for me to just have a relatively healthy level of competition with Connor. That said, I'm going to f***ing crush him in this playoff prediction thing that you're doing. So let's go.
I am just so happy to hear that I'm not the only person the Scrabble Authority had to send multiple sternly worded emails to. So yeah, man, I can associate with that immediately. And boys, one last wrinkle here, and they didn't know it, but they're going to be in it. Marcus Maxime, we are going to show these gentlemen that although they cover the team, we know just as much about them. You guys are going to be the huddle representative in this playoff prediction. So we're going to get three responses, one from Connor, one from Wes, and then a joint response, most likely just from you guys. But if I think your answer sucks, I'm going to weigh in and try to get you to change it. Those are the stakes. That's the idea. Here's our first question. Wes, I'm going to throw it towards you.
Hold on. Do I get a free shirt?
Well, I mean, we're buying the shirts, dude. So, like, I mean, if by free shirt you mean the shirts that we've bought, can you have one of them? Yes, you can definitely have one of those.
Okay. Seems fair.
Wes, right now, Miami and Milwaukee are in a matchup in the second round. It's already 2-0. Who wins that matchup and in how many games? And so this one's worth two guesses. You can get two things right. If you get the series right, but not the number of games, then you only get one of the possible two.
Gotcha. Is this a situation where I just tell you who wins and a number of games, or do I get to like expound on my answer here?
Either way, you can vamp a little bit. We're pretty early on, so we're not in a hurry. You can give us some explanations.
It's my elevator pitch. I think the Heat have thoroughly outplayed the Bucks through two games, but we haven't gotten an MVP-level performance from Giannis. That said, I think that's more to do with Miami's defense, which has historically done a good job against Giannis, even dating back to 2 years ago. I think that the Heat, they're just a better team right now if you just subtract the Giannis factor, and they basically have. And Eric Spoelstra has coached circles around Mike Budenholzer. I think the gap between Spoelstra and Budenholzer is larger than that same gap between Giannis and Miami's best player, Jimmy Butler. And so I give the Heat the edge, with the two game lead, notwithstanding. So I think the Heat win this series in six, and I'm giving, I really think five, but I'm going to give Milwaukee the respect one extra game. I'm going to say Heat win in six.
Connor, what do you got?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with what the Heat have done. And I agree with Wes that, Spoelstra has completely outcoached Budenholzer. I think Budenholzer has kind of topped out in terms of what he can do with this team. I think it actually might be time for a change of leadership. I think he got him to that next step, but if they're going to break through and really win a title, they're going to need someone else. So even though I think the Bucks are actually the more talented team, I think the Heat are going to win in seven. Now, I'm saying seven just because a lot is on the line here for the Bucks, and they do have the best player in the world. And I think the Bucks understand that if they lose, and not only lose, but, you know, lose in like four or five games to a Heat team that they're probably more talented than, that could have really bad repercussions for their future with Giannis. You know, Giannis, you know, he's going to be a free agent in 2021. Does he want to stick with this franchise long term? This could kind of be a make or break thing for them. So I think they're going to get enough together to win a couple games, but being down 2-0 to a really well coached and talented Heat team, I just don't see him pulling this out.
Marcus, Maxime?
Yeah, I agree. I think Heat and six. I think the call out of Budenholzer not being coached or being outcoached by Spoelstra is a great call. I mean, I think this isn't new, right? Like, Coach Bud did a great job with Atlanta, and he's just a great regular season coach. When it comes to the playoffs, he always, his teams just kind of peter out. So I think that should be expected, and it's just he's not the right coach to get them over that top, and I don't think they come out of this series.
You know what I didn't like, and then next thing we'll see if you agree. So we've seen the back and forth of Giannis receiving that question, did you want to go out and guard Jimmy Butler? And he says no, and why'd you ask the question? The thing that bothered me wasn't that he said no, I didn't want to go out there. It's that he didn't immediately say what Butler said. I mean, when Jimmy Butler pointed out that Giannis is the best help defender forever, and why the hell would they change their defense because they had, you know, were having trouble in a single game? That Antetokounmpo didn't come out and say something like that or be angry or demonstrative would make me really concerned as a Bucks fan, because what they need is peak Giannis to get through this. And if he's not even peak Giannis in a question and answer session afterwards, they might have some problems on the floor. This will be the last time all of us provide a response, but Maxime, do you agree? Is this a clean sweep here? Everybody thinks Miami wins?
Man, now there's all this peer pressure. I don't know. I have a ton of faith in Giannis. I feel like he is going to show up in a big way because he's just an incredible competitor. And I heard recently that he has this opinion that he doesn't want to sort of flaunt his status as reigning MVP, best in the league, until he actually wins a title. And that's got to fuel his fire, because you know that he wants to do that because he's such a fiery competitor. Then again, on the other hand, I totally agree that I think Budenholzer has been outcoached. I was just looking at their 2019 run through the playoffs, and in all of those situations, they were just clearly the better team, at least until they got to Toronto. They never went down 2-0 in the hole. I think that this is a matchup that they actually don't have in control like they did last year. And so, yeah, clean sweep. Let's go.
Let me give you guys one that might be a little bit harder, a little reminder and background. Wes is the beat writer for the Warriors. She does a podcast. That podcast is called The Locked On Warriors. The over-under I give you guys now is 25. Gentlemen, over-under, how many times will Wes randomly tweet about the Heat and their dominance during the playoffs? I will answer for the huddle here. I take the way over. Connor, what do you got?
Oh, way over. Yeah. I mean, he's already tweeted about them a lot. I have them on notifications, and I always, you know, my phone will light up and I'll check, and I'm like, oh, it's just a Heat tweet from Wes. I don't need this. I wish there was some way to like make it more specific where I only got notifications from Wes when he's actually talking about the team he covers.
Wes, instead of answering that question, let me give you a very similar one. Was Connor secretly rooting for Portland during their first round series against the Lakers? And, you know, we're not going to ask him. He doesn't have to tell us, but he's told us publicly 1,000 times that he remains neutral always. He doesn't have a favorite team, but I know he's from Portland, man. So what do you think? Was he a Blazer guy for at least a week?
No. And I will say this, over under, how many games of that series did Connor even watch? 2. And I'm going under.
I really like nasty competition. It makes for the best podcasts. A real question, boys, but we're getting back to the Warriors now. Will the Warriors use the second pick in the draft, or will they trade it before the draft? I don't want you to tell me who they would take. That's a question for down the line. Right now, the only question is, will they actually use it at 2, or will something else happen with that pick?
Who goes first? Me?
Yeah. Whoever wants to take it.
You go first, Wes.
They use the number 2 pick. Because I think they'll be they are open to trading it. I think they'll even be aggressive scouring the league for options there. It's easy enough to say, hey, yeah, the Warriors should trade back. Because they should trade back. That makes sense, right? But it's one thing to say that they should, and it's another thing to actually find a trade that's feasible and makes any sense for both teams, and I just don't see it out there. Could be proven wrong, obviously, but I think ultimately they just say, you know what, the number 2 pick's not that bad. Let's just go ahead and use it and do the best we can with it.
Connor?
Yeah, I agree with Wes. I know a lot of the national writers would disagree with us. Everything I'm reading is, oh, the Warriors are definitely going to trade. They're shopping it. And it's true. I mean, they're very open to trading it. But I don't see an obvious trade out there that makes sense. And ultimately, what the Warriors want is an all-star caliber guy in his prime to pair with the aging core of Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And now is not the time, or the draft is not the time to make that happen. They're going to probably need to take whoever they can at number two and hope that that person can come in and make an immediate impact, and then see how things go, and then try to make a big trade around the trade deadline next year for maybe a Giannis or a Joel Embiid or someone like that. But they need to see how things come together. And also they want to probably dangle whoever they sign, whoever they get with the trade exception this summer, because that could potentially be an expiring contract. They want to dangle that so that they don't have to get rid of someone like Andrew Wiggins, who a lot of teams A, don't like, and B, the Warriors see a lot of value in him and would like to keep him. So, that trade's not happening for a while. The most the Warriors will do on draft night is trade back a little bit in the draft, but they're going to take a pick in the first round, whether it's number two or later.
Well, that's, but for this, I mean, the specific question is, do you, because I'm going to ask you later on, if they trade back, what pick do you think they would look at? For right now, do you think they would make a pick at two?
I think they'll make a pick at two, because I think there's guys there that they really like. And I think given how fluid this draft is, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you really like someone to trade back to number six and hope to get him when you know you can just get him at number two.
Marcus, I'm going to shift a little bit. And this one's to you, because you're the only person in this virtual room who is close to my age. So the question to you is, does it bother you at all that LeBron James is balding? Because it's bothering me, man. I've rooted against him forever. I recognize his skill set. But now that we're seeing him get old and, like, show some vulnerability, I don't like it. It makes me feel old. I prefer him just continue to be this, like, dominant force who I dislike. I don't like this humanizing of him. It's weird for me. How has that been for you?
I think the balding has always been there, so it's not as jarring. The gray and the beard throws me off more. But yeah, I think he should just stop holding on and just go bald and let the hairline go. But I don't understand why he doesn't just color the beard. Like, the gray hairs in it just throw me off every time. I just feel like he definitely has enough money. I know he's known for being frugal, but you got to go in and just color the beard a little bit.
Can he do it now? How does that work? So, like, I've got a beard. I've got gray slowly coming in it, and I feel like I've missed the moment. Like, if I was going to do it, I had to do it before any of my boys, before you guys saw that the gray came, because now you'll know I'm coloring it. Like, is that, can you pull it off when people now know that it's already gray?
Well, I mean, he's already tried it with the hairline, right? I mean, there's that funny meme that says, what if I told you the greatest comeback for LeBron never happened on the court, and it's just a picture of him with his hairline from 2 years ago and then at the time, and it's completely different. So he definitely had it filled in or did the spray or whatever. So I don't think he really cares about that. But yeah, as a fan and as a person growing up that of watching LeBron and having seen Michael Jordan play a little bit too, like, I know the debate of who's better is, you know, a different podcast, but it's just weird to see him be, you know, not invincible. Like, he, to your point, like, he becomes human again. And it's kind of like, oh, like, I need you to fix that immediately.
Wes, I hope you heard me say it's not a debate, because I was talking to you specifically. I wasn't sure if it got through. So I'm going to say it again. It's not a debate.
I've been very, I was fighting the urge to just scream out LeBron was better, but I won't do that.
So. Instead, answer this question. Houston Lakers, who wins and in how many games?
Oh, man. I've been, like, really thinking hard about this, because Houston is kind of the anti-Lakers. They're the best three-point shooting team in the league. The Lakers are the worst, at least of the teams remaining. You know, I don't think Houston has an answer for Anthony Davis whatsoever, but all of Anthony Davis point baskets are going to be worth 2 points, and whatever Houston can do is going to be worth 3 points, and that is more. And so I think there's a problem there for the Lakers. That said, man, like James Harden, he's so lucky that the Rockets won that game because he was so bad in that game seven. He choked again, as he tends to do. And when it comes down to it, I trust LeBron so much more because he's the greatest of all time. I trust LeBron so much more than I trust James Harden. And so I'm going to go Lakers.
You said the greatest of all time?
He is he's not only the greatest, but also the grayest of all time. I'll try to think. There was one player who was just like straight up gray like a couple years ago. Like, was it Tim Duncan? Was it just straight up gray like a couple years ago, like his last year? I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, Duncan was gray. Andre Miller was gray for a little while.
Andre, thinking of. Yeah, I mean, he was just like, yeah, it was bad looking. Anyway. Lakers in five. I think that Houston could pull it off. I just don't see the math going their way because they continue to not show up in these types of series. So I have Lakers in five.
Connor, who's the grayest player you can think of right off the top of your head? And who do you have winning this series and how many games?
Patino Mobley was super gray.
Good knowledge. I was just a joke and you actually had a response. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I like the gray, like especially when it's kind of like that silvery gray. Like I'm all about it. I think that that LeBron should embrace his gray. I just have an issue with guys who like do whatever he's doing with his hair. It looks like he's having some sort of surgery to try to regrow that hair, and it just looks so awkward. Either just let it go naturally, or just shave it, embrace it. A lot of people are bald. It's okay. So,
wait, Connor, what college did Patino Mobley go to, and where is his hometown?
He's from He went to University of Rhode Island. Played on that really good Rhode Island team of Lamar Odom. I believe they made the Elite Eight that year. Where is he from? I don't know where he's from. I think he's from Jersey or something. Yeah.
You'll find out later in our bracket challenge. He's actually in there.
Yeah, I think that we are setting a record for the most random rabbit holes anyone has ever gone down during a podcast. But Connor, if you said it, I missed it. Who wins the Houston Lakers series?
Definitely the Lakers. I think the Lakers win it pretty easily too. I think the Lakers win in five, at most six games. I don't think that the Rockets have a real answer for Anthony Davis, and I just don't think that small ball game is enough to beat a team in a seven game series that has a really good front line. I just don't see that happening.
This is a random one, and shout out to Maxime for bringing it to my attention, but it came out this week that George Hill's pregame routine includes taking a shit. And in fact, he missed the national anthem because he was in the bathroom and it caught some attention. They asked him about it. He said, oh, well, actually, I've always done that.
There's a specific reason you weren't out in the arena during the national anthem.
You want the honest truth?
Yep.
Okay, I take a shit every time before the game. I've been doing it for the last 4 years.
Which leads to this. Over under 25%. How many players have taken a shit as their pregame ritual? And although first, I got to think it's like way under, because I always just assume everybody craps at the same time of every day. Like, you know, you have that internal schedule. It'd be really weird to flip that up and have it as part of your pregame routine. But I'm not there. I'm not in the arenas. You boys are. So what do you, more than 25% of people shit pregame?
I'm going way over, actually.
Wow.
There's a couple reasons. A lot of players will walk into the arena holding a cup of Starbucks, right? And so that's a natural diuretic. So that can loosen some things up pregame. Also, when we're talking about pregame, some guys show up like 3-4 hours before tip. So does that count as their pregame if they're like in the locker room, getting dressed, doing their warm-ups, all that stuff?
To me, that counts. Hour. Last pretty hour. Wide. Let's call the pregame hour. The hour. Yeah, the 60 minutes during the lead up to the tip.
I'd still go slightly above, maybe at like 33%, maybe not 1/4 of the league, but certainly, like, you know, maybe even higher at like 1/3 of the league. But the other thing too, and Connor, you know this, a lot of bananas in locker rooms. And I understand that that's to relieve cramps, right? Or to prevent cramps, I should say. But bananas are also good for locking shit in, quite literally. So that might be another reason for the banana to limit bathroom trips during the game.
Incredible breakdown. Connor, do you agree?
Yeah, it's way more than 25%. I think that their body clock and their routine is just such where they just naturally have to go around that time, because you don't want to have to leave the court or leave a game to go back to the bathroom and do that. And it's one thing to have to run to the locker room to go pee, that can take 30 seconds, but to have to poop, I mean, you could be out for, you know, a significant amount of time. And when you're talking about someone like Steph in an important game, that could literally be the difference between a win or a loss. So I think they're smart enough to get it done pregame.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by how entertained I am by all those responses and how seriously you guys took the question. That made me really happy. Let me give you guys another one, and it's a Warriors focused one. If the Warriors moved down in the draft, what pick would they acquire and who would they draft? So this is another opportunity to get 2 points out of a single question. Connor, you've been able to go second each time. Let's let you bat lead off here. Who do you got?
Yeah, I think one guy that they really like who is not high on any mock drafts is Sadiq Bey out of Villanova. I talked to 2 different scouts who had him as a potential top 5 pick on their board, which is crazy given the fact that this is a guy who on mock drafts is considered a mid to late first round pick. But He fits everything the Warriors like. He's a wing who's got nice length and size, but he's a good shooter and kind of your prototypical 3-and-D guy. He also comes from a winning program in Villanova. He played with Eric Paschal. We know that the Warriors love Villanova guys. And I think they believe that his ceiling is much higher than the average scout would think. A lot of scouts think he's just has the potential to be a good role guy in the NBA, like a rotation player. I think the Warriors think he can be more than that. And so, you know, if they ended up trading down to like late lottery and the other guys that they really like the Denny's and the Halliburtons of the world are gone, I think he would definitely be the guy.
Give me the pick. We're talking like 11, 13.
Like anywhere in the late lottery, like anywhere from like 10 to 15.
All right. Wes, I'll give you same leeway.
Wait. No, wait, hold on. I know what's his face, like Sammy Stats or whatever his name is like keeping track of this stuff. And Connor has consistently not given like straight up predictions, and I've given you very specific things. Like, does Connor get credit for somewhere between 10 to 14 or whatever he said?
Of course not. Of course not. He's just, he'll lose these points, Wes. You shouldn't be pointing this out. These are all advantages.
Okay, 10. I'm saying 10, okay?
And I think he gave us the other ones. To be fair, I do think Connor gave us responses on the other ones, but he was a little flirty on the last few.
He said the Heat would beat the Bucks in 6 or 7. He said the Lakers would beat the Rockets in 5 or 6. Like, he's consistently given
I said 7. I said 7 for the Bucks.
Where were you on this, Maxime? You should have been calling him out.
The Lakers actually didn't give a number. I'm going to say the Lakers win that series in 5, to be specific.
Too late. We already did that part of the segment.
Neither of you gave me a specific percentage on how many people are taking shits pregame either. I mean, it was really.
Was it over 100, wasn't it?
33%, one-third.
It absolutely was. And so we're going to need something specific from you then, it turns out, Connor. You got 10 and Bay.
55%, and I want to know how you're going to get that information.
Don't you worry about that. I have my ways. We've got a Zoom poll out there right now. Give me your take, Wes. If they moved down, what pick would they move down to, and whom would they select?
They're going to move down to the Atlanta Hawks at number 6, and they're going to draft Tyrese Haliburton. How's that for super specific?
Remarkably specific. And we're going to go to speed round here because I've taken up too much time as is. Gentlemen, Clippers, Denver, who wins? How many games? Connor, you go first.
Clippers win, and I'm going to say Clippers win in 6. I just think they're a much better team. And I'm not convinced that a team that revolves around Jokic can make it far in the playoffs. I love Jokic, but I just think in the modern NBA, relying that heavily on a big man is just not ideal. So, and I also think the Clippers are the deepest, most well-rounded team in the NBA. And I still think they're going to win the title. So I'm going to go with Clippers.
Wes?
I think the Clippers' depth is overrated, especially in playoffs. I'm not sure really how much you can play Lou Williams in the postseason. Other than last year, he hasn't really historically been a good postseason player because he's not good defensively and he gets beaten in the half court almost always. And I'm just like, what, Reggie Jackson is depth? No. I don't really see where the depth is on that team that everybody keeps talking about. That said, I have the Clippers winning in seven in a tight series. I just think, you know, Jokic was beaten often by Donovan Mitchell in pick and roll. I just think Donovan Mitchell is a better pick and roll player than anybody the Clippers have. Like, Kawhi is okay at it. Paul George is okay at it, but they're not at Donovan Mitchell's level, which is, you know, sounds crazy. But I think Kawhi is going to have to win that series by just sort of getting to his spots over and over again. And I have yet to see Paul George be clutch the way he needs to be. So I think Kawhi is enough to beat, I think it's a deeper Denver team, actually. But it's going to take seven games.
Give me a name, a player that you think the Warriors will ultimately acquire. But to make Wes not too angry, you don't have to limit it to the TPE. So somebody you think the Warriors will bring in with either the mid-level exception or the traded player exception.
Well, I said I would never answer another TPE question ever again. And that said, I think they acquire Rudy Gay with TPE.
Do you agree, Connor?
I actually do. I think it just makes the most sense on a lot of levels. It's a perfect marriage, perfect time. I think it's going to happen.
I'll take it. I don't know how excited I am for Rudy Gay. We've said that in the past. I just hope he's still alive at the end of this season. He's like 85 or 86, although I will immediately erase this should he join the team, because then I will become a huge Rudy Gay fan. Let me, boys, get this off my chest, because I thought I was going to be able to move on, and I just can't. So it's a random-ass story, some background. Anytime I take a crap, I got to be at home. Like, real deal. If I'm not wearing the home whites, I would prefer my pants, which is one of the reasons I take a shit at the same time every day. I have to make sure I have access to my bathroom. But for the purpose of this story, we back up, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. The Warriors are still playing at Oracle, and my nightmare happens. I don't even remember like eating something terrible or like drinking unnecessarily. What I remember is out of nowhere, some portion during the first quarter, my stomach betrayed me. And, you know, worst case scenario playing out. I had to not only crap in public, I had to crap at the Oracle Coliseum, which is just unacceptable on more ways than I can possibly tell you. So I go in there, and my experience is what you'd expect. You know, go in, crowded bathroom, door closes. I don't see anything for a while. Then I leave the bathroom and come back out. It's weird because when I go into the bathroom, it's hell of crowded. When I leave, like open up my stall, it's completely empty, like zombie times empty. And I didn't understand it, but it was what it was. I was in shell shock. I just had my nightmare play out. And I get outside, and the friend who I'd come to the game with, who was waiting outside, goes, "Yo, did you see that?" And I was like, "See what, dude?" Like, I was in there crapping. Like, no, I saw the inside of a bathroom door. And apparently, while I was in there, Mike Conley got sick on the floor. And they brought him back, like the president with like a bunch of security and stuff, brought him into the bathroom, got everybody else out of the bathroom except for me, because they didn't know I was behind the stall door, and then allowed him to go and got him out. So talking about players who take shit, turns out Mike Conley actually had the privilege of smelling my crap, gentlemen. So I had to get that story off my chest. It's just been distracting me this entire time.
Is that why he's underperforming as part of the Utah Jazz now?
You know, I've sent him that email at least 10 times, Wes, and he just won't respond to it. So I think that's a yes. I'm going to take his silence as assent.
I think that's fair.
I hate to say it, guys, but I have to hop off. I have a interview at 2:30 with Rick Welts, no, so I got to hop off here.
No, we appreciate it. We'll take this episode home without you, man. before you bounce, give us one quick thing. Where can people find your work? I'm sure that they loved your content today and they need more.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and then read my stuff at sfchronicle.com. Been having a ton of content, even though it's the off season, plenty to write about. So follow my stuff there.
We appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
MT, can you tell me what percentage of the Bay Area players took shits pregame?
33.
Wow, Wes, you were right on that, man. Nicely done. We lost Connor, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to give you an opportunity to pad your prediction stats. I mean, you know, he should have planned his day out a little bit better. Otherwise, he would have been able to field these questions too. So let me ask you this one. Do you think a punch will be thrown in the bubble?
No. I don't. I think that there's enough solidarity in the bubble. I think that there's been enough trauma bonding happening in the bubble. And there's enough Draymond Greens not in the bubble that a punch will not be thrown.
Over under 15 hours. How much time will Robin Lopez spend with his nose pressed up against the closed gates of Disney World wishing he could get in?
Over, for sure. Because he's not part of the Bucks rotation, so they don't even need him there. He's just going to spend most of the game wondering when the gates are going to open up and he can go ride Splash Mountain.
Don't you like in huddles or something? He's like, so are you going to put me in? Like, I'm not saying you don't have to put me in. That's fine. But I do have some gate nose pressing to do. So if this isn't working out.
One of my favorite things to watch in a playoff series, and you don't get this in regular seasons, right? But you get this in a playoff series. Where you have like in games 1 and 2, you got dudes like 11 through 15, totally part of every huddle, really just trying to listen to the coach. Like, yeah, if you need me, I got, like, I'm here. Like, I know I'm not really part of the game plan, but you never know, next man up, et cetera. And then by games like 4, 5, 6, 7, they're like not even, they just sit on the bed. They never move. And to watch that happen is always pretty interesting for a body language person.
Although one of the cool upsides, I feel like, of the bubble has been when the benches talk crap, the people on the floor can hear them, you know, way more so than was true before. And so now we're seeing so much more bench participation, you know, like people falling out of their chairs when other people miss shots, which actually leads me to this. And I'm stealing this. There's a guy on Twitter named Coach Maples. So I'm stealing this take from him. But what he pointed out was what the Clippers are doing on the bench does not match who I at least perceive Kawhi to be off the floor. There was portions during that first series, whenever Carter Williams took and missed a jump shot, people like Pat Beverly and the rest of the Clippers bench would like fall out of their seats laughing, like really demonstrably like, oh, he's so terrible. I can't believe he's doing that. Which from what I can tell is so diametrically opposite to who Kawhi Leonard is. You know, like that he feels like that, like the Spurs guy or the Toronto guy, not someone who houses their opponent, somebody who just beats their opponent. And it's interesting watching that dichotomy, and it'll be interesting to see if he wants to stay with them. If they don't win, he's on a 1-1. And if their attitudes don't match up, I can see that being a problem.
It could be. I mean, as much of a fun guy he is, I do wonder if he's like there. It's a little bit of a younger team. I wonder what, like, his thoughts were with Lou Williams' lemon pepper wings incident. Like, that's not something Kawhi would do, right? Like, at least given his brand. So, instead, he likes to just take games off in bunches at a time, but that's neither here nor there.
Wes, if the Warriors do end up using their pick at 2, who would it be on?
Anthony Edwards. I think there's enough appreciation for his game and what he can do, his potential fit with the Warriors. And his upside that they would take him. Defensive issues, concerns are real, but I think that the Warriors have enough faith in their own ecosystem that they can kind of weed those out. And then he's got real, I'm telling you, he's got real shot-making ability. People like to talk about the inefficiency numbers that he had at Georgia, and granted, those are real, but it also means something when you're taking those shots and you're able to create those shots. And he's developing like a little step back, like Harden-esque step back game. He's not afraid to take a mid-range jumper. Like, there, that is what shows you the potential for it being there. Just him, his ability to get those shots off shouldn't be underestimated and or underrated. And so I think they'll be really comfortable with him and trusting their own ability to get the most out of him and make him into a multi-time all-star. If he's there too, they're going to take him.
Maxime, are you hoping for somebody? Like, do you like Ball? Are you hoping for Edwards? Is there a dream scenario that plays out?
No, I mean, part of that is my admitted reluctance to spend much time with the NCAA, but it's also reliant a lot on the people that do saying that it's not a particularly interesting draft. I don't know. It's just really hard for me to get excited about this much malaise. So, yeah, I'm kind of out on it.
Did you know that Wes hates James Wiseman?
No, tell me more.
Wes, what do you have? Much like I refuse to talk about the TBE, he's been answering questions left and right about James Wiseman. And I think I saw somewhere, no, not saw, one of his podcasts opened up with why I don't hate James Wiseman. So Wes, why do you hate James Wiseman?
I'm baffled by how many national mock drafts have the Warriors taking James Wiseman at number two, because it's just not going to happen. I'm actually excited for it, because every mock draft is going to get screwed up after the second pick. And even sounds like everybody, you know, throwing Anthony Edwards into Minnesota, that's going to get screwed up. It sounds like they like LaMelo Ball based on some of these reports, but whatever. I don't hate James Wiseman as a player. I actually appreciate him and his willingness to stand up against the NCAA and the hypocrisy that it represents and all of those things. He's just not a good fit for the Warriors, and they know that, and they're not going to draft him at number two. And for some reason, every time I keep saying this, people keep coming back at me like, why wouldn't they draft James Wiseman? He's the next Kevin Garnett. And my answer is, this is not your opinion. I'm just telling you what's about to happen. So it's not like I don't like James Wiseman, even though he's most certainly not the next Kevin Garnett. He has not ever proven that he's a three-point jump shot. It's not enough for you to take it. You need to actually make the shot. To me, he is much closer to Hassan Whiteside than he is Kevin Garnett. And I don't know that Warriors fans want Hassan Whiteside.
If Hassan Whiteside was still a member of the Miami Heat, would you be a huge fan of James Wiseman right now?
No, I actually was never a fan of Hassan Whiteside. But like, James Wiseman is Hassan Whiteside without the attitude problem. The problem with Whiteside is he has an attitude problem and he can't pass. James Wiseman's problem is not that he doesn't have an attitude problem, from what we understand. He just can't pass. Like, that's still, like, he's not a passer. And the Warriors like their big men to be passing big men. And if you're not a passing big man, you need to at least be able to stretch the floor. He can't do either of those things.
Last question. Take me through the final matchup. Boston-Toronto. Who wins? How many games?
Man, Boston looks so good. And they have thing that is why Miami is winning this Milwaukee series. They just have guys who can create their own shots. So I'll say that Boston goes on and wins the series in five.
Wes, I really appreciate you, man. We missed you. It's been too long. I hope and trust Miami is treating you well. And I know I'm not alone. Everybody who's right now checking their phone for more Goldberg content, where should they direct it?
They can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, and then check out the podcast, Locked On Warriors, and check out my writing over at themercurynews.com.
Boom. You guys know where to find us. You want to reach out to me, to Marcus, to Maxime, to any of us. You can hit us up at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Twitter account is at Warriors Huddle. We're on Patreon, where we love you. Shirts will soon be available. And in a couple of weeks, we will crown the beat writing prediction champion. We'll bring one of these guys back and make sure they know that they are the greatest. Wes, we really appreciate you, man. And everyone else out there, go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good, good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.